Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everybody to a great, wonderful late spring day. This is Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right, the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Mark Poff joining us to talk about a variety of things. But wanted to start off with Sue Moore from the Liberty Scorecard, Colorado. They track legislators, how they vote, their base, and I'll let her explain the principles. And the 2025 legislative session that just wrapped up, and that she has a report.
Crashed into
a report out, sort of the patriots, the not so patriots, the good bills. I think I loved your thing, the bad bills, and then the just simply absurd bills.
Well, I didn't. This was great because I had no idea there was a good bill passed. I mean, I was shocked. Well, there's a good bill passed. I mean, what could that be?
So, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show once again.
Well, thanks for having me. I always appreciate seeing you guys and kind of doing a wrap-up thing. So, looking forward to it.
Let's start with the good news first. Let's talk about there were, once again, some true patriots.
And nine of them.
Yeah, you know, from the Republican Party side. Why don't you maybe, again, for folks who aren't familiar, kind of explain what it is you do, how you decided, and then give us the good news about the patriots.
Sure. So anyway, Liberty's scorecard is really just a measure of how our legislators perform, how they, you know, whether or not they understand the principles of individual rights, free markets, limited government, and whether or not they know how to apply those when they vote, when they sponsor bills, when they create bills. So basically what we do, I've got a group of about 10 really, really loyal volunteers who do this on a weekly basis. As the bills are being introduced down at the legislature, we read them, we apply our principles, we have a worksheet, a kind of a questionnaire, if you will, where we ask questions. Does this bill expand government? Does it reduce government? Does it impose, undue regulations? Does it raise taxes, yada, yada? And then we have a weekly Sunday meeting where we get together, we talk about the bills, we do some extra research if we need to. We come up with a position of support or oppose on each bill. Most of the bills, not all of them. And then we compare our positions with those of each legislator, and then we run a scorecard. It's really just kind of a report card. It shows whether or not they understand these principles and whether or not they know how to apply them. So at the end of the day, we just finished the legislative session a couple weeks ago. We had, I think, 5 A's, which is the most we've had since I've been doing this.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good year. You know, we had some really, really dedicated people, really, you know, good grassroots fighters down there at the legislature. But the 5 A's were Stephanie Luck, Ken DeGraff, Scott Bottoms, Ron Weinberg, and Max Brooks. Max is a rookie. This is his first year.
Yay! Well, that's good to hear then.
Well, yeah. All of those people, I don't think we've had Max Brooks on, but Ron Weinberg was a shock to me, which is... Well, I love your scorecard. You have no idea really where people stand. And without your scorecard, you'd have no idea. They'd tell you they're this or that. And I remember I was on the executive committee for a sanctioning of Ron Weingarten because he was attacking Colorado legislators for not supporting tranny legislator up in Montana. And he was condemning him and everything else. And, yeah, Ron, that's really not your job. So I'm thrilled that he was in
Colorado.
I think he was a solid B last year, so he's moved up into.
He's a great. I mean, you know, it means.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know what you're referring to, and we don't follow.
Oh, you wouldn't, but it you know, it's always good to be surprised when somebody does better than you thought. You know? There's so many of them do worse than you thought. When you have somebody do better than you thought, that's kind of heartwarming.
Right. Well, and again, you know, we try and keep it as objective as we can. We apply these principles and we, you know, we kind of run the numbers and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But like I said, Max Brooks is brand new and he told us up front, he said, I'm going to get an A on your scorecard. And we said, great. You know,
good.
Prove it.
Yeah,
You gotta
prove
earn
it.
it. We don't give grades. You have to earn them. So
Yeah. Send you guys an apple doesn't work.
Exactly. And then we had several Bs, three actually. Brandi Bradley, I think she was a B last year. Mark Baisley actually moved up, and Dan Woog. So those are the three Bs. But I guess the good news, if there is any, is I think 2 years ago we only had maybe seven ABs and Cs. Last year we had 13, and this year we had 19. So I
Wow.
see people coming up and paying more attention and reaching out. We do have a good back and forth relationship with a lot of these people. They'll email me or email somebody on the committee, say, what do you think? Or why didn't you like my bill? And what about this amendment? And, take a second look, and here's what I was thinking. So, we're always trying to get it as right as we possibly can. I guarantee we're not perfect, but we're,
Well, the one thing one might note if one's looking through it, and I read through your scorecard religiously. I mean, to me, it's the most important thing in local Colorado politics.
Oh, thank you.
Is the total absence of anybody, and there's about five people in the Senate and four people in the House on the leadership. None of them major A's, none of them major B's, a couple of them barely. And there are various DEs and Fs.
No E's, but
The,
yeah.
yeah, well, I don't know if they give E's, but they might. They scored in the 40s. I mean, leadership scored in the 40s. They were pathetic, absolutely pathetic. And the winner of it is, well, I thought everybody was betting on Barb Kirkmeyer as the biggest Democrat the Republican Party ever elected with Democrat money. But she was beaten out by the Assistant Minority Leader Cleve Simpson with a 47. So there are depths that the leadership will go to that are just amazing. And you always have Rose Puglisi was on some show and she was whining that Rhino Watch had identified her as a rhino and said, "How could I be a rhino? 66. I'm a solid 66." Just
Which
amazing.
would be an
The
F, right? Or
score,
would
yeah, we
you
had Rose
do you
Puglisi there, and then Paul Lundeen, who'll finally be term limited out. I mean, I thought he was term limited about 10 years ago, but he infests the state Senate for just endless periods of time. He had a solid 54. So you've got leadership that is,
Colorado Republican Party leadership.
and they're elected by their fellow House members. I mean, it's not like they chose themselves. But the House membership said, let's get some really solidly awful Republicans in leadership positions and they can lead us into this
Well,
wonderful Valhalla.
let me have Sue break it down. So, okay, so we got the good news there. What about sort of like break down a little bit for us what Chuck is talking about, the not so patriots?
Yeah, again, all we do is provide the data. And I can tell you that we collect, different legislators are on different committees. Some are in leadership and maybe, they don't have as many votes. Like Rose, we recorded 336 of her votes. And just to back up a minute, we collect their vote, their final committee vote. So depending on which committee they sit in or sit, that the numbers are going to be a little bit different between each legislator. That's why it's not entirely apples to apples. But in Rose's case, we have 336 data points. So we collect their final committee votes and then their final floor votes. So all that we're doing is collecting data points. So we come up with our position. I send an email every Monday morning to all the legislators saying, this is our position, this is why, this is our justification. Do with that information what you will. And then they cast their vote. So they can't say that we're beating up on anybody or, we're biased against anyone because we're getting our information out there first.
What is
For the most
nice
part.
about people like Rose and Barb Kirkmeyer is that not only vote for Democrats, but they sign on and become
Yeah, they co-sponsor.
co-sponsors their bills, which is the particularly nefarious one. And the excuse we always hear is that, well, because I signed on, they made it a little less worse. And you kind of go, that's because they made it even more worse, knowing that if they gave you anything, you'd sign on and make it a bipartisan bill. So we've got to give credit to Barb Kirkmeyer, the Republican's favorite Democrat, and Rose Puglisi, who pretends she's a Republican. And give them credit. give them credit. They've rose to the very top of an organization that they hate. And that's not bad. That's not bad. That's not easy to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, to that point too. So I said Rose had 336 data points. I think Barb Kirkmeyer, we collected 494 data points. So Barb sits on the very, very powerful joint budget.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And, you know, it's taken me a few years to figure this out, but it was interesting to watch toward the very end of the session, the last 2 or 2.5 weeks of the session, the JBC sponsored 16 brand new bills. So this is after they've already passed the long bill and wow. They passed all the orbital bills, which they need to pass to balance the budget. So then they wait till the very end of the session and they run 16 brand new bills, most of which have a fiscal note, not all of them, but a lot of them did. So, and I haven't quite done all the analysis on that, but I'd like to know, you know, once they passed the long bill, what was that number? What were they holding aside for their priorities toward the end of this session? So yeah. It just kind of raised a question, but I really had no idea how powerful that joint budget committee is.
Oh, it is.
They can run as many bills as they want.
Wow.
And they do. Yeah.
Not,
usually run them together. And they usually, you know, sometimes they'll be the only ones. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are two Republicans on that committee, but oftentimes those two Republicans were the only two Republicans that voted for some of those bills toward the end of the session. So they're not good bills. And people would say, well, but they kind of have to, you know, get along on the JBC. Well, that's not true because Kim Ransom did not. A lot. Right. When she sat on the Joint Budget Committee, she did not sign on to a lot of those JBC bills. So it's not required, but they, you know, it just looks interesting to me.
Well, we talked to, I think, was it Hope or Darcy maybe about this? That, because you're right, the whole point of being on the Joint Budget Committee, if you're a Republican, is to use whatever leverage you can use. Frankly, like you said, Kim Ransom, to not just get along, because the JBC, that's the one place where maybe they need you. And we had talked about there were some bills, which I don't remember what they were. It was one of the orbital bills to get it through. And they didn't even, they voted just to pass it, right? I mean, there was no attempt use the little leverage that they had. Well, let me ask you, and we'll talk back to this, but I wanted to, because I think just in terms of some of the bills, to me, it seemed like this was an extreme kind of legislative session, more extreme. And we'll talk about the good bills in a second, but I mean, we've got the transgender bills, well, the construction defect law, I think. Bill.
Yeah, we help the developers. Great. And we should all be personally thrilled to help the developers.
Thank God. But there were a lot of just the gun bill. I mean, talk a little, was it just me or from what you guys, having watched bills go through for years, how would you kind of describe this session and what got through?
It was interesting. There were very few fiscal notes. The legislators were told at the very beginning of the session that there's no money. There's no money, no extra money. Don't even think about putting a fiscal note. So it was funny to watch the fiscal notes. They were all zero. And you're looking at some of these bills going, no, that can't be. They can't work within, you know, existing resources to get all these new jobs done. So first of all, that's bullshit. But, you know, as far as what did it feel like? I can't say it was a lot worse. I mean, it's been bad.
Okay.
You get to the point where it's just bad.
It's just bad. It's no worse than it's okay.
Every year it's bad.
It's a different kind of bad, I guess you could say. But last year was probably worse for second. I mean, if that's even possible. I mean, Second Amendment's always under attack, but it was bad. It's been bad for a long time. But I do see more of our people fighting. Unfortunately, they just don't have the power to get a whole lot done.
Well, they wouldn't be in the leadership. So I don't know where they're fighting from.
Well, no, but we've seen, I mean, I think I agree with you. Scott Bottoms, Brandy Bradley, Kathy Graff, all those guys do, I think, a really good job on social media. Stephanie Luck as well, getting stuff out and raising as much as they can awareness, right? And they do a good job of rallying people to come to the legislature to testify. Of course, they get ignored, but at least they're getting people out there. And I think, and maybe that's one of the reasons, I mean, I think it helps when there's awareness being spread about what's going on, what's being debated, and the constituents know. I mean, hopefully that's a kind of that's constituent pressure that's helping push the legislators. Like you said, we had the more A, B, and C's than we've ever had. So
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I think their communications have gotten better. I see more stuff. I think their social media presence has gotten better. So, there is movement. We still have a lot of ground to make up. The Democrats have been doing that for a long time and doing it better than we do. But yeah, so if you can, attribute that to leadership, then I think they've done a good job with that.
Talk about a little bit about the absurd bills, because there were some, like you said, there were some wacky ones. There was one I saw that
How
about
about
the
the ones that pass? The ones that pass,
The
that's those are the
absurd
best.
bills that passed. Yeah, there were some bad ones. So let's see. So 25-11-70, the sale of electric bike requirements. They have to tell you a whole lot of things about these electric bikes before you actually buy one.
It's like they
And
could
if you
tell you
don't
that
know
it's
what it does,
electric.
you probably shouldn't be buying one. But why is that any different from buying a washing machine? I have no idea. But
And that's a kind of thing that just adds more regulation. I mean, Colorado is one of the least business-friendly states anymore, right? And that's just one of those things that just they add regulations on stuff
and
that.
licensing, they like the license.
Yeah.
They take out the garbage. You have to apply for the license these days and be state regulated. I mean, everything is licensed and regulated for the safety of all of us.
Right. Yeah, and the other one that, I love animals, but there was one that promoted people adopting feral cats. Adopt a shelter pet account. I mean, what does government have to do with that? Why can't that be handled at the local level? I have no idea. Then they're trying to get more youth involved in environmental justice.
Oh,
First,
that's a good idea.
I don't know what environmental justice means, and what do high school kids really know about that? I don't know. But
That's to fund somebody's favorite non-governmental organization, I
That's right.
think.
That's get the money down to the people.
Yeah, and then they want to also involve incarcerated people in crafting legislation. The reason these people are incarcerated, and I'm pretty sure they don't have a clue about what good legislation would be, but for some
Well,
reason.
they can't vote sometimes too, right? So, well, I think that might be just a push to try to get them to vote. It's like, we need to have the incarcerated people. If I were incarcerated people, I would be spending a lot of time trying to get legislation passed to get rid of crimes and penalties and sentences,
That's the DA's, Democratic DA's job.
Yeah, so all of those things passed. One's waiting to be signed. The e-bike one is waiting to be signed, but the other ones have been signed.
Oh,
Yeah,
good.
peace officer questions during traffic stop. So you get stopped. The police officer says, "Do you have any idea why I pulled you over?" Well, this says you can't ask that question anymore.
What are you supposed to
No idea. That takes that one off
that a
the.
trick one for some people?
Yeah.
It must be.
I always say, here's the thing, I always say no, right? You might as well say no.
Well, or say
Positive
nothing.
one of
You can do that too. You don't have to answer every question. That one did not pass. And the other one that didn't was protect workers from extreme temperatures. Well, OSHA covers that,
Well,
And it, if you
we had
have
for a
to.
while the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle offices, the old offices didn't have an air conditioner. And so Mark would
So we
vote.
sponsored that legislation.
So you got sued, and then okay, I get it. But yeah, so there were some good ones. The construction defects one that you talked about was really good. It's not
Developers,
perfect.
we got something finally for our
Well,
beloved developers, and we can build. Thank God we can build more condos because America needs its
You're
condos.
saying that because you're a lawyer and you want to sue all the condo people.
Well, of
So.
course you want to sue the developers. That's the American dream.
Well,
So
they put some
we're
trails.
glad all the developers beat out the trial lawyers because that was a battle.
Chuck. Anyway, the nuclear energy, adding nuclear energy to as clean
What does that
energy,
mean?
that's a big deal.
What does that mean? Are we going to build a
Now
like a
we can
plant?
build nuclear plants.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got the money.
Wait, refund though. That well, any idea, any sense? I would think the Democrats wouldn't have liked that. Or do we like nuclear energy
Oh
now?
no, they haven't liked that. They ran that bill last year and maybe even 2 years ago, and that went nowhere. So finally, they're realizing that the math doesn't work out with solar panels and wind farms. So we've got to have some other clean energy source. So they finally caved on that. Para risk reduction measures, just more auditing of para and more auditing of state agencies, Air Pollution Control Division and Unemployment Insurance Division. So there's going to be more accountability, hopefully. Gives the auditor a little more power in that. Yeah, so those are the big...
Do we need another hour and a half or so to go through? That's it? That's the grand total of the good bills. Well, we're all a little...
Like I said, you know, on our website, I kind of do a little recap, and there were 657 bills. We rated 439 of them. Some we can't rate. They have conflicting principles or their license plates or memorial, or whatever. But of the 657, of the 439, I think we supported 20% of those and opposed 80%. And that's kind of consistent throughout the years. So, you know, one in five bill or whatever it is, two in, what did I say? Are not bad. 80% are bad. Okay. So most of them are bad, but yeah, there are some diamonds to be found in there.
You know, it is kind of depressing, though, when you think of it. Just over the years, as you've watched, sort of this compilation of bad bills. It's kind
just
of like
piling year after year. Yeah. Shitty bill after shitty bill. Every one of them making Colorado a little worse to live in. And your only hope is that there's a little more review of some auditor's opinion on something.
And the legislators at least are getting better.
The legislature. Well, how many legislators do we, Republican House and Senate, do we have?
We have 34 Republicans, 12 representatives, and 22 reps and 12 senators. So,
and of those, the last I
saw, the best part about that, and I didn't list all of the positions, but you know, there are nine of them. Then there's probably so at least a third of the. Of all legislators get a leadership position, which is, you know, nice to be handing out to everybody. And you know, I love the fact that there's not a single conservative anywhere. Couldn't they make him the license plate leader or something? Just, you know, Brandy, Stephanie, we're going to make you some worthless, but just pretend the leadership is an utterly rhino, squishes, but no, they're pure. You know, luckily we have unaffiliateds help us elect these people, and we've got beauties all the way through.
So out of that, then, because the last time I was paying, I looked. This was a couple of weeks ago. Of the 12 Republican senators, 8 of them had failing grades. Is that how did that come out at the end? Do you know?
You know, I haven't added that up. It would take me a second, but yeah, it's they're just a little chummier in the Senate, and they always.
Yeah. That's true.
Show me with who.
It's the good news. That'd be fun. Any before we let you go, any sort of final thoughts that you want to share with folks? Or
Just to kind of give you the heads up, you know, we're always working on the scorecard. We're always working on the website. But what we're planning to do over the summer, and it might cost us some money, but we also want to put a link to each legislator's, you know, where their funding is coming from. And we'll also be including their entire voting records and bills sponsored. We did that last year. It's just a huge data dump, but we're going to attach that to our website.
Wow.
So if you wanted to look up specific votes or specific sponsorships of each bill, you could find that under each legislator's name. So, but I think the funding is going to be a really great component.
That's great. Yes. That's right. Yes. Well, that means then speaking of that, because that would be, and as I know, you know, a little bit the work that I do on websites, it's not cheap. Final question for you. Where can folks go to help you guys? Because you're not an NGO.
I'll give my speech I give every year and so, but there's no more valuable organization than Liberty Scorecard. There really isn't. Otherwise, you'd be lost. You have no idea what legislators do, didn't do. You'd have no idea which ones are good ones and bad ones. And even if you're liberal, you can,
right. I mean, no matter where you are.
I didn't realize Ron Weinberg was such a conservative SOB. So it really is. If you got an extra dime, give it to them because they do such God's work. And we really would be lost in this state. We would be lost.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we try to do this on a shoestring. But if you want to donate a little bit of money, we could use it. LibertyScorecardCO.us. There is a donate link there. You know, like I said, we try and keep our costs down to a bare minimum. And we just provide this as a resource. We do it because we love our state. I've got great volunteers. My executive committee is myself, Victoria Partridge is vice chair, Steve Dorman is our treasurer, and Kelly Hagerty is down in the Four Corners region. She's in La Plata County, and she gets us some really great volunteers. So these are really committed people. Nobody makes a dime. We just try to cover our costs, and we do it because we love our state. So,
All right. Well, everybody, Thomas, everybody loves you too. So.
And I have to also say, Steve Dorman, I mean, you know,
Chuck.
I've trashed him for years.
Chuck, you're wrong about Steve Dorman. He's a good
guy. Okay. Well, I was wrong about Ron Weinberg. I can be wrong.
There you go.
There you go. So maybe Steve Dorman didn't try to sell out Lakewood and destroy the city. It's possible that I was wrong.
He's doing good work here.
He's doing good work here. So thank you, Steve. After you finish destroying Lakewood, you've done great work.
Sue, don't listen to Jeff. Thank you, Sue. Appreciate the work you do. All right. Bye, Sue. More there.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
LibertyScorecard.co. Yeah, all these people saying, Jacob, Dr. Donna and Jacob are like Mike Lindell. The Colorado court case is coming up in June, pretty quick, too. We'll be keeping track of that. Real quick, let's just go ahead and I see Mark is there. Mark, I'm bringing you on early, so I don't know if you're ready or not.
Bring the pants back up. And
Mark Poff, welcome to the show once again. He's going to be filling in for us on Friday, and wanted to give him a chance to promote something. But first, I wanted to run this by you, and because I just wanted to talk briefly about this. So the city of Denver, which is crime ridden, it's one of the worst cities in the universe, spent $175 million to kind of redo the 16th Street Mall, right? And one of the things they've done is a key portion of it was to rebrand. It was to get a new name.
That's not inexpensive. You got to hire some really good people.
So guess what? The new name of the new rebranded $175 million name of the 16th Street Mall is
Vice Avenue.
No, 16th Street.
I know 16th. I'd call it Vice Avenue.
Yeah.
Because everybody's doing
take
drugs.
Them all off, and that probably costs $100,000
minimum. That should bring millions of people.
Okay, I thought people. I mean, pretty much. I used to park down by there, at the parking lot. Then I'd go have dinner, and then I'd go to a Rockies game, and I'd walk all that way. That would be my exercise to walk the distance. I'm not sure I would walk that right now.
Oh, no.
No.
And I'm not sure I would park my car in that parking structure anymore. That whole mall's been taken over. So renaming something, you know, isn't going to help it. I mean, it's still going to have the bad.
No, but at least give him a cool name to it, like Jazz Alley or something. But
just 16th
Street, I mean, you know.
It is. I mean,
whoever came up with that. 100 years ago, they were, 12, 13, 14, 15.
15, 16.
16. Okay. So you're saying they're coming up with a new one?
No, the new name is 16th Street.
It's now, instead of mall, they're taking the mall. It's 16th Street.
Instead of calling it the 16th Street Mall, the whole PR campaign and everything, they're just going to call it 16th Street. That's it.
So how much did they spend on this rebranding?
$175 million.
On the rebranding or on the whole remodel?
Not all of it on the name change. A big chunk of it, but not all.
Well, obviously it's being controlled by Democrats because they hand out money. I mean, we're finding out all this stuff with Doge and everything.
Yeah.
They're giving out all this crazy money, and all the Democrats are pissed. They're going after everybody, Rubio and everybody, because they're pissed because the gig is up.
Right.
Well,
let me
is a tangential point, but we have Mark here for tangential points. The two things you got to watch these days, it's always exciting television, even though, you know, there's not a lot of good shows and so forth. The two things you got to watch these days are Trump with presidents from other countries around the world. He just had the South African one, and he put up, you know, a screen thing of all these South African leaders screaming, kill the Boer, and all that. And so the president, is this how you guys normally do it? And the other fun watching is Marco Rubio just
destroying all the Congress people.
Well, they try to destroy him.
I think the term, he's not taking their shit. I mean, he's just jumping them. And, you know, all I thought about, I actually saw that in the White House with the South African president. All I thought about was back, I think it was Lethal Weapon 2. Remember when he went into the South African embassy And he goes, hey, my friend wants to relocate to South Africa. And he goes, well, hey, I think that's a great idea. And he goes, no, I don't think it's a great idea. You know, and then he brings him over and he's black. And of course, the South African ambassador or whatever is like, yeah, dude, you do not want to go to South Africa. Well, now it's quite the opposite.
Yeah.
It's like if you're white and you go into the South African embassy and it's like, hey, I'd like to relocate to South Africa. They'd be like,
no,
you wouldn't make it out of the airport. I mean, so I thought it was good. There's one thing that Trump definitely does, and that's entertains.
Yeah.
Yes. I find him very entertaining. And when he jumped, and I call it that, I think he jumped the president.
Yes.
I think he really jumped Zelensky. I think that was kind of a put down.
Mutual deal.
Zelensky
yeah,
was
yeah.
like, I want more money. And he goes, I'm tired of this.
Right.
But South Africa, I mean, I think he did jump him, and rightfully so.
Right.
And then the Democrats are all pissed off saying, why are you letting all these white people in?
Yeah.
You know,
all 5 dozen of these goddamn
yeah, exactly. And, oh, by the way, they actually have money, and so they're going to actually help the community.
No, they have their own. They have their own cell phones and everything.
But luckily, the beneficent, kindly Episcopalians have a conscience. You might have thought they didn't have it, but their Episcopalian Relief Services said that we cannot help these Afrikaners. It's just something that's too below us. And so they refuse to settle them. They said, we will not resettle these white Afrikaners because we have our standards. And our standards are
non-whites.
Non-whites, yeah.
I mean, it's just, to me, it's just obviously when the hypocrisy is exposed.
Yeah.
You know, that here, and I love Rubio when right. he says, we get to pick and choose who we let in.
That's part
and
of it.
I think it's amazing. What was it, Trump? And I don't think he's actually implemented it yet. Like the $1 million ticket, golden ticket to get in.
Oh, yeah.
It's like if you pay $1 million like or $5 million, we'll let you in our country. What better thing to do? Anybody who can afford $5 million or $1 million a person to get into this country, these are people we want. They're going right. to do positive influence to our society.
Right.
You know, but it's like, no, you don't understand. We just want to open the floodgate. And we don't want them to do it legally, for God's sakes. No. Can't help that.
They want to come in illegally with a bunch of fentanyl.
We want to see
there.
How and depth make, they are, and if, how good they are, you know. They
right. make $1 million selling drugs. Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is the Biden whole health thing and who you think was running the White House. I mean, it's like, what are your thoughts? I mean, the book came out. Now, I don't want to give Jake Tapper any credit because he was talking about hypocrisy. But it's just interesting. And all of a sudden now Joe's got cancer, so we can't say anything bad about Joe or the Democrats. But I think in all of it, people keep missing the underlying question. It's like, well, who was deciding the Otto Penn stuff? Who was actually running the country?
And I have a guess before you give your guess. My guess, it's just going to pop up, right? Alfred E. Newman, the old Mad Magazine guy with the cap and the teeth. Whoa, he's been running everything? Holy shit.
Well, I mean, this is what I always say. Whenever you have a power void or a vacuum, it's going to get filled because you can't really have a vacuum. It's going to get backfilled. And so when you pump water out of a tank, you got to make sure that you put air back in. That's why you have vents at gas stations. So when you're pumping the gas out, you can put something in there so you don't create a vacuum. So somebody in the White House, and we definitely saw towards the end that Jill Biden, and this is something I do want to kind of talk about a little bit on Friday, who okay. I think should be arrested for elder abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, they drove this guy into the ground, and it sounds like Chuck and I now have more in common than that we both, other than that we both play bad golf. Is
speak for yourself.
That we both have had some major prostate issues. And,
yes.
and I've had
yes.
major prostate issues. I mean, bottom line is I had cancer and I had it taken care of and I've been cancer free for about 3 years. I don't talk about it because it's really not a big
because
deal.
Because not a lot of people want to hear it.
Right. Well, especially men.
Want to hear about my cyberknife thing and my, yeah. No, a lot of people will go, yeah, I'd love to hear that.
And this is going to be, Chuck's going to like afterwards, but yeah. I listen to Chuck and his golf buddies now when they talk. That's all they talk about, Mark.
Well, I understand like that. And I've
Either
run across people
that
ask me stuff.
Knees.
Well, when you go play golf and then you got some guy who has to pee in the bushes because he can't even make it to the next bathroom, it's like, you know, somebody who's had prostate cancer goes in and say, dude, do you know your PSA number?
Yeah.
And I've run across some people who've said, no, I don't. But I can't believe someone like me, I've known my PSA numbers since I was probably 40, 45.
Right.
You know, every year I got it. And I said, look, there's two things I don't want to die from. Prostate cancer and colon cancer. I think they're very preventable. And if you do the maintenance, if you want to call it that, you have a good chance of surviving this. And that's what the doctor, the surgeon told me.
Right.
Was he goes, you've got a very high success rate because you've been tracking your PSA. We caught it extremely early. All of your samples have come back negative. I've been, you know, cancer-free for 3 years. I can't believe that little old me has better medical than the president, vice president, and a senator who hadn't had a PSA number since 2014. I just don't know whether to believe that.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, kind of like, no, let's not test for that. He had an enlarged prostate.
That?
Right.
He had a large prostate in 2010. And they said, well, we'll check it for a couple of years, but, you know, it won't kill you till you're 83. Oh, you're 83. Well, you'll be dead in a year. I mean, you know.
And the thing is, it's so preventable, or not preventable, but I mean,
treatable,
that it makes no sense to me. Now, I definitely believe this, and one of the things I'm going to talk about on Friday, I think John's going to be here. He's actually in the middle of a trial, and I keep saying this every time.
How do they catch him so often?
He's always in trouble. Not his own trial, but somebody else's trial this time. But I think he's going to be here on Friday, and we're going to talk about Kohlberger and some other things. And we may even talk about I hate to talk about Puff Diddy or whatever too close to me. they used to call me in the jail Puff or Puff Daddy in the jail.
Really?
So, really?
Did you have parties and all that? Or,
well, the inmates would call me that, Puff Daddy or the Puffinator. And I said, look, so long as they're not calling me shithead, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm good with it. But we do want to talk about some of that stuff, but I want to bring up all this facts and evidence that I have to suggest that Kamala Harris really should have been our 47th president. She should have been. And I'm going to bring up the evidence and see who will debate me that she definitely should have been. And a lot of stuff, and I don't want to spoil the whole
thing on Friday,
but there's stuff that she did that I don't know if you guys know about, that she was prepping herself to be president.
Yeah.
And I mean before the actual end of his last term.
Well, you got to wonder, and we won't spoil it, so we leave it be for that, but I got to say, you got to wonder if it had worked out the way they wanted, and I mean, they maybe being Kamala, Joe would have been elected. He would have had to quit right away, and then she'd be president. I mean, I think, and I don't know if that was Joe's plan or Jill's plan, but I kind of think that was at least part of the plan. Okay, well, Liz,
and they also don't want to tell you this other unfortunate sort of thing that's a little, you know, they don't like to let you know. You can try to detect prostate cancer as soon as possible. And you can treat it from the minute you get it, and it still can kill you. It still can overcome whatever you want. And so Joe was treating this cancer. He wasn't just going, oh, let it kill me. I'm a tough guy. He was treating most of the cancer. And now he's got a year, you know, not stage four. I mean, it's possible, but more likely than not, he'll be dead in a year. And so that's when his brother was saying, you know, I don't know how much more time Joe has, because they communicated that to Joe that his life expectancy was not long.
Right.
And so it's sad, but it's we're lucky, you know, they said it's responding to hormonal treatment. It's like they haven't been giving him hormonal treatment for the last 3 years. I mean,
how do they know? How do they know that it's going to be responsive to hormones?
Right.
Yeah.
Unless he's already had hormone therapy. So I actually think that, you know, I think it was on Scoborough, if I remember right, where they had that doctor on there and he goes, look, he had cancer when he went into office. You know, let's not talk about when he left office. He had prostate cancer when he went in. Well, what if Joe Biden knew it then? I mean, he knows, like,
well,
if you went and had the surgery, and everybody can choose different options, and you have to choose for yourself, it's your body. But if he had had his prostate removed, or if he had done any of these special things, it would have required a hospital stay.
Yes.
If he'd have done this before the election of 2020, he wouldn't have gotten anything. I mean, it would have locked – the election would have been over.
Right.
Because everyone has said, look, that old man's going to die, and we're going to get Kamala Harris. Hell no.
Yeah. You know? Here's a good thing about dementia is he probably forgot. Right,
that he had prostate cancer.
Prostate cancer.
He could pass a lie detector test.
I think he could pass a lie detector and a lot of stuff. And I think we know. And I can't remember who mentioned this. I just saw it. I know it was on Fox News on one of the things. Whether it was Greg Gutfeld or someone who said that. Look, he was running for president as a centrist, and then when he got into office, he did the most liberal things ever. Do you really think that he changed all of his opinions overnight? It's because he wasn't running the show.
Right. Other people were.
Yeah. Other people were running the show. And this auto pin thing is a huge, huge deal. Because right. I think the Supreme Court or somebody ruled that auto pins are okay. Well, wait a minute. I mean, who could – I don't even know what – is this a device? What the hell is an auto pin?
Right.
Who knows that Biden said, I agree to that? We have these big things with Donald Trump. And I love this. Again, it's the showmanship of Donald Trump, where he takes that huge-ass marker or whatever. Right. And he's like,
and it takes him forever to write his signature.
And I love it.
Most of us have doctor's signatures once you hit 50. Right. It's just, strong and it's done. I mean, he's there.
But he makes a whole show of it.
Yeah.
So nobody can question what Donald – and he even tells the guy – okay, tell me what I'm signing.
Yeah,
right.
You're letting 10 million people into the country.
I think that the auto pen thing is huge. And I think the Supreme Court, think about this. They make a big deal, even when Jared Polis signs a bill into law. So even though the pardons obviously are a big thing, but I imagine there were all kinds of things that Joe Biden was signing, and Congress passes stuff all the time, well, theoretically, that this auto pen was using. And that the question would be, and I don't think this, I think the Supreme Court has ruled sometimes it's okay, but I mean, who knows about the fact that the president, I got to imagine in some way, shape, or form, it would be bad to say that the president had no idea that any of this stuff was even going on, and it was some millennial intern
intern, and you realize
your boss
that the boss is out of it, and you actually know how to operate the auto pen. And you're kind of going, I mean, I could just type something up
and auto pin it. See, this is what I'm thinking for when I first went on the school board at Lewis Palmer, best school district in the state, because I was there, but I was the treasurer, and they had me come in and sign some things. And I think they said, I mean, I don't remember. I mean, I was too new. They said, this is for the auto pin because your name is on every check because you're the treasurer. Yeah. So your name's on every check. So I didn't sign all those checks. You know, I'm sure my name was on millions of dollars. You know, maybe it was to employee paychecks. I don't know. But see, if they do resolutions and use auto pens, that's one thing. Because that's just a statement from the president saying, I don't support whatever, you know. But on stuff like, you know, where you're giving people pardons.
Right.
And in the future and all kinds of crazy crap, how do you know that Biden authorized that auto pen? And if they don't ask him soon, I mean, if you asked him now, he'd be like, well, when did Bo die?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think I signed those. And wait a minute. That was when Trump got elected in 2017.
Right. Well,
you know.
I would think they might be able at some point to trace it to figure out, well, when were things signed? Was Biden even there? Or I mean,
well, you don't have to be there. Mark wasn't there when the auto pen.
I wasn't there.
Well, but if no,
they
but
did
I mean,
it after 2 p.m., you well, know yeah, he was asleep.
But yeah. I think it'd be interesting to see how far back does it go? Because at some point, somebody at the White House, or I think probably a collection of somebody's, realized that Joe did not know what was going on.
Well, he was so far behind in his auto signings anyway.
like you said, then there was a combination of, okay, we can't have him doing this and avoid being filled. And that must have been some interesting dynamics figuring out. And I suspect, I think the conservative treehouse has talked about that probably different people, like, you know, Lisa Monaco was doing things with Justice Department. Susan Rice was doing things with state, you know, who knows? And then the
I love the fact that, one auto pen was not enough. They had two auto pens that were slightly different, and they did. There were two auto pens. And you could tell because one, they put a dot after his middle name, initials, middle name, and you know, they're two different ones. And so they kind of went, well, you know, they were so busy, you know, we need to use the auto pen. You can't. We're using the auto pen. So they had to get auto pen.
So, you know, when a king on a monarchy, probably in the old days, died, all of the rich people or the people that were underneath the king probably for a week or two could really get away with pretty much anything they wanted.
Right.
Until they figured out, you know, let's get the new prince in here and get him crowned. Well, what if the king was dying over 3.5 years?
Yeah.
You know, the king's dead, but no, I mean, this whole weekend at Bernie's, it's like the administration at Bernie's. I mean, you're talking 4 years where they're propping up this dead man. And I really hate to say that, but the problem is he's in a political public figure. Right. So I would never say that about someone who's like, hey, I'm out of the public eye. Just leave me out of this. But they're the ones who did this. They're the ones for 3.5 years or 4 years propped it up a dead man. And they all lied. They all got in the public eye and said all this stuff. Biden does circles around us, just not in public.
Yeah.
You can see him in private, you know. And
he's
it's like
sharp as a tack. He can't sign his name technically, but he's sharp.
Well, and you go back to look at the things the Biden administration lied to us about, the Hunter laptop story, the Ukraine. I mean, you know, you go through and it's like, is it even hard to imagine that they would lie about us? That stuff? Of course they lied, you know. And
well, that's what everybody figures with this prostate thing. There's nobody thinks that, and whoever is, you know, the Biden spokesperson, who is that anyway? But if you were that person, you wouldn't identify yourself. You'd say, I am Biden's spokesperson, and I'm not telling you who I am. And you know, this is what the family says. Family says it was diagnosed on Friday. Literally, that's
I don't believe it. I definitely do not believe. I mean, I know the whole process that I went through.
Yes.
Right.
It happened with me. And I think I had some of the greatest doctors around. Maybe Joe Biden needed these guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trump's got it right when he said, is it Bethesda? I think that's right.
Yeah.
Is one of the best medical centers other than doing autopsies on Kennedy. But probably one of the best medical centers there is. And I know Trump's just sitting going, this is BS. And then this is all to change. They use their final card. It's like the end of playing war. And they got that final ace of spades. I'm going to throw that cancer card out there so everybody will leave me alone and stop giving me a hard time. Because seriously, you are watching a dead man walking. And I hate to say that. I saw this in my own father when he passed away, you know, towards the last few months, that whole shuffle stepping and things like that, and you having to repeat things to him and the confusion. You know, we've all seen it in our parents and relatives, and now we get to see it on national TV. I think the only miracle that happened here is that he didn't die before his term was over. And
then Kamala would be president. Well,
how do you know he didn't?
Yeah, really.
His brother does look like him.
Speaking of Weekend at Bernie's, well, Lenny, before you let you go, anything else? It sounds like you got a great show.
Well, and actually, I didn't even talk about the best thing is I'm going to be doing this series on, I refer to it as Cops Gone Wild.
Oh,
but good. But it's cops and DAs. Remember Linda Stanley down in Canyon City in that area where she got disbarred and all this
stuff? Yeah.
She's not the only DA in the state of Colorado that's doing things that are just not ethical. And see, John and I kind of run across some of this stuff because DAs tend to not like us right now because it's like you can't have former detectives or investigators saying, wait a minute, you know, you didn't do this right. And this is driving me crazy. We had a huge, huge ruling up in Alaska. And I keep bringing this up and I hate this. And so I even sent an email back to the defense attorney saying, hey, can I talk about this yet? It's like, no, the U.S. attorney filed a new thing. And so I might have to go back up to Alaska. But you talk about cops gone in Juneau PD. I'll give you that one, not Anchorage. It was actually happened in Juneau. You got to read this ruling, but I don't. I want to wait till it's final because they can't throw a curveball.
You're teasing. That's a tease there, Mark.
Exactly, and I hate to do that.
You're teasing us.
But I'm telling you, and the thing is, whenever cops do things wrong, they should self-reflect. And I've violated people's constitutional rights. I'll be the first one to tell you that. And I could tell the story, but, you know, bottom line is I said, okay, that'll never happen again.
Right. That's the point.
And the judge even said, look, this was all out of good faith. He didn't know X, Y, and Z. And I was like, okay, that'll never happen again. Well, the cops are just like, damn it. You know, we got to make sure we don't get caught again. You know?
That's the attitude.
Yeah, that's it. Like, go-to
what did we do wrong that we got caught? You know, what could we have done differently?
So that we wouldn't have gotten caught.
You know?
All right, Mark. Hey, thank you. Look forward to your show on Friday. Thank you for your time today. We'll see you later. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, and that will wrap it up for us on this Wednesday. We will see everybody later. Tune in for Mark on Friday. Thank you to everybody on Zoom and at BBS. And
one more time, even though I'm probably one of Libby's scorecard's least liked individuals. I love them, and please donate to them. They really do.
They do a great job there. All right. All right. See you later, everybody.
Bye-bye.